The scripture for our message this morning is going to come from Luke's gospel. And again, I'm not following the lectionary passage. And so if you know what the lectionary passage is, you will not see that in here this morning. And we're going to be looking again at Luke's gospel at chapter 2. Beginning at verse 8 this morning as we look at the Word of God and prepare ourselves this morning for the service. I am getting connected here. There we go. Okay. And God's Word says, "Now in that same region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen." This morning, as we consider getting ready for Christmas and observing Christmas, I want to call your attention to the fact that it's just a couple of weeks away, and we're going to gather and we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, many of us will do this observing traditions that have been in our families for years and years and generations even. And then some of us will be making new traditions with our families, and we may observe something in the future because we've done it that way this year. Whatever the situation, for all of us who gather here, who gather in the house of the Lord, it is likely a time that is a pseudo-worship service in itself. The opening of presents, the realizing the presence of the Lord among us. It is a good thing to gather and to celebrate one with another. And I'm thankful that God has given us opportunity to do such a thing. Now, folks, I want to invite you this morning to consider the significance of the event that took place in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. You see, at that time, there was a great thing about to happen. And it was such a great thing that God sent his angels to tell about it. And he appeared, it said in scripture that the angels appeared to shepherds. And the shepherds were afraid. Now, a few of us have had an opportunity to go over to Israel. And one of the things that we see when we go over there is the shepherd's fields just west of Bethlehem. And I enjoy seeing that each time. They've managed to keep much of that looking very much like it did in the time of Jesus' birth, if you don't look across the valley and see all the new houses built over there. But right there around where it is, and there's a cave there that represents the kind of cave that shepherds would have sought refuge in as the weather got a little bit colder. And those scenes there give us a little glimpse into what first century life was like. Those shepherds were not afraid of very much. Those shepherds would face wolves at night. They would face bears and whatever else came for those sheep. These shepherds were not some mild-mannered, meek people who couldn't do anything else but watch sheep. No, they were shepherds because they had what it took to be shepherds. And when the angels appeared to them, they were afraid. One version says they were sore afraid. It is significant when God sends angels to make proclamation on the earth, to tell the people of earth to stop what you're doing and pay attention. There's something great going on. And something great indeed was going on. The God of the universe was being born into the creation as a creature. The God who designed all of it, who caused all of it to come about from nothing, came into our world. But folks, I want to tell you that that was not the first coming of Jesus. Jesus is in Scripture throughout the Old Testament. Particularly, we see him time and time again in the book of Genesis. But there was another time too. We see in Scripture, particularly John's Scripture, that there was this young girl and she was a virgin. And the Holy Spirit came on her so that she found herself with child. Folks, I proclaim to you this morning that at that moment is when Jesus came into the world. We celebrate the physical birth because that's what we can see. It is a marker for us. But Jesus came to a virgin's womb. And I want to tell you that I fully 100% believe that. I own it and I accept it in my understanding of who God is, because the God I serve is capable of causing a virgin to have a baby. The God I serve is the Almighty. He is in control of all things. And so that is not outside the scope for the God that I know. Amen? Do you know that God? Are you familiar with that deity? You see, that's the God who loves us enough to send his only Son into the world that we might be able to know him, that he would bear witness of us about who God is. That is the God who loves us enough to dare to bear the horror of seeing his Son mistreated and hung on a cross because he loves us so much that he's willing to go through that. That's the God that I know. The title of the message this morning is The Reason. Oftentimes, this time of year, people, particularly Christians, will say, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. And often we also make comment of how we want to keep Christ in Christmas. I want to address both of those this morning. And I invite you to consider the significance of Jesus' birth into this world. You see, it is the pivot point of the whole Christian understanding of life. The whole Christian worldview pivots on the birth of Jesus. But that's not all. All of human understanding pivots on this event that went on in Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago. And not only that, but all of human history pivots on this event. The way we keep time pivots on this event. This is such an important thing that happened in the lives of all of humanity that the way we have agreed to keep time changed based on that event. Regardless of what people may say is the reason is that was such an incredible event. See, Jesus is the reason for the season. But folks, he is the reason for so much more than just the season. He is the reason you and I gather here today. There's not a single one of us that would be here if it were not for Jesus. We might be gathered together, folks, because if it wasn't for Jesus being born into this world and coming into this world, we might be Jewish, but we might be completely pagan. And it would not be that we would gather today in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because he has come, he has effected this gathering today. He is real and active in our world today. When we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're not just celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago, but we're celebrating a living God who is in our midst and works in our lives. Amen. You see, he is not only the reason that we're gathered, but he is the reason we have something to gather for also. We have a Savior among us. We have God who has come down in the flesh and called us to attention and given us opportunity to know and understand who he is. He has come that we might have relationship with the Almighty Creator of everything that is. And in the coming, he offers us eternal life in his presence. Amen. He is the reason that you and I can have hope for tomorrow. When we look around and at our world and we see so many things not going according to the plan that we read of God in his word, our Bible, we could lament and get lost in the destruction of all that we know as society. But we, above all other people, have hope. We have been given that hope because there is a living God. We can revel in that hope because he shows himself real and he has come to us and he invites us to come to him. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 1 and in the Gospel of John at chapter 1, you'll see that he is also the reason for that any of us have existence. He is the creator. In Genesis 1:1, it said, "In the beginning, God created." And in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later on in verse 14, it says, "And he became flesh and dwelt among us." And then later on, we'll get to that in a minute. But what we see here is in the Word, we have the God who became flesh is the same God who acted God. The actor, Jesus, the one who has physical presence with us, is the one in Genesis. And so he is the reason for our existence. And then we see in Genesis 1:26, we're told that he designed us separate from all the rest of the creation. He designed us in their own image. It is very specific in the Bible that it is their image, a multiple image, not in his image. You see, we talk about a triune God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are made in his own image. And the Son was the one who formed us out of that dirt, Genesis 2:7. And then later in verses 21 through 23 of Genesis chapter 2, we see that he then personally, by hand, took a rib from Adam to make Eve. Jesus is the reason for a whole lot more than just celebrating this season. I want you to know that there is an innately personal reason that we celebrate the birth of Jesus into this world. A reason more personal than the wonderful joy of celebrating a newborn baby even. You see, in celebrating Christmas, we celebrate the Savior that we so desperately need. A Savior who has come into the world to deliver us from sin and death. We celebrate the Christ in whom all of God's promises are yes and amen, so says 2 Corinthians 1:20. We celebrate the Lord who in humility took on the very nature of a servant for our sake. We're told that in Philippians 2, verses 6 and 8. And it's appropriate that we would celebrate with the giving of gifts to one another. Because we have received in Christ Jesus the greatest gift that anybody could ever have. We get to know the Creator. No other part of His creation gets to know Him like we do. God didn't come as any other thing but a human being into this world. We are His special creation. You see, He has given us what 2 Corinthians 9:15 calls an indescribable gift. And we need to see that gift. We need to receive that gift. We need to own it and incorporate it into our beings. We celebrate this time of year with many symbols and things that we do. We celebrate it with stringing lights, because the light of the world is Jesus. And that light has come to us, John 1:4. And we celebrate Christmas with carols and singing and choirs, because they are the expressive joy, and they follow the examples of Mary and Zacharias and Simeon and the angels that we read about just this morning, all of whom extolled the Lord's greatness in poetry and song. And we celebrate Christmas by decorating an evergreen tree. That tree we decorate with stars and angels. Of course, we had already talked about the lights. And we do that because Jesus brings eternal life. Even after we've cut these trees and they've been cut for weeks, they still remain green. They remind us of the power of God to conquer death and to provide life. And the stars and the angels were all associated with Jesus' birth as He came into this world in a physical way. And so we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Folks, do you see what a privilege it is to be able to see Christmas from the point of view of a Christian person, a Christian worldview? It's more than just the tinsel. It's more than just lights. It's more than just good wishes. It is a celebration of our God. Celebrating Christmas without Christ becomes a trap of getting enough gifts, getting the perfect gift, seeing how extravagant we can be towards our children and our friends and our families. Especially in this Western culture, there seems to be an attitude of the more money we throw at it, the better Christmas it was, right? Celebrating Christmas without Christ lasts just long enough for that toy to be broken. Just long enough for that tie to be thrown into a drawer. Just long enough for that dress to be exchanged. Who would wear a dress like that anyway, right? You've asked it, I know. Celebrating Christmas without Christ brings dissatisfaction, depression, disenchantment, and debt for no legitimate purpose. We don't have to succumb to any of those things at Christmas time, because, folks, we know the Lord who loves us beyond measure. We know the Lord who calls us, and we don't need to sink to the things that the rest of society needs to sink to try to find some love in their lives. Amen? Celebrating Christmas without Christ in your heart and in your celebration brings hopelessness, restlessness, anxiety, and animosity, which are all the polar opposites of what Christ brings into our lives. The hope, the peace, the joy, the love that relationship with Him brings into our hearts and our homes. celebrating Christmas with Christ in our hearts brings excitement, anticipation, purpose, and security. Security regardless of what's going on in the world around us, or regardless of what hearkens right at our own front doors, we're still secure. And you know, that security lets us know that it brings us everlasting life. We have not to worry about the worst thing that Satan can send our way. Though it crush our bodies, we will survive. And we are promised that because Jesus Christ came into the world and he showed us how that happens. Amen. I mean, do we really celebrate the real Christ at Christmas? Or is it just some cartoon fantasy that we've seen on television? Is it just some good idea that we fall into along with the rest of society? Are we purposely seeking the God to celebrate? Are we concerned with growing in ways that cause us to emulate the Christ that we find in our Bibles? Or are we content just to be satisfied with a baby laying in a manger? A baby that's not going to challenge us. A baby that can't speak to us or call us back from the brink of disaster. A baby that's not going to do anything but cuddle to us. Do we want to worship the real Christ? The real Lord? Are we good with just going through that warm and fuzzy feeling of gathering with friends and family and enjoying a meal that stuffs our bellies until we want to take a nap? And the fun of opening some presents, is that good enough? It should not be for any of us, because we should be sold out to Christ. Regardless of our circumstance or condition, we know that the living God loves us and is with us and is in us. I received an email this week that caught my eye. In the email, there was a dramatic image of Christ touching a child as if blessing or healing the child. The caption on the image read, "If you want to put Christ back into Christmas," and then at the bottom it said, "Feed the hungry, comfort the afflicted, love the outcast, forgive the wrongdoer, inspire the hopeless." So many times I have seen or heard people say, "Oh, we've got to put Christ back in Christmas." And most of the time, I'm going to tell you, church, we've got a problem. We've got a problem because we as the church and we as church people always look at things and we say, well, them people have got to change. We've got to put Christ back in Christmas. Of course, that comes from using Xmas, right? And people were literally taking Christ. But what they're doing really is so much more than just writing it some way. It is they're taking Christ out of the celebration completely. And we lament about that and we say, "Oh, they need to put Christ back in Christmas." Well, folks, I want to tell you something. Whenever you see a change that needs to happen, most of the time it needs to happen first right here with us. Amen? And we need to own that and we need to take responsibility, because I want to tell you something. If we were to put Christ back into ourselves and back into our witness and back into our relationship with the outside community the way it should be, then we wouldn't ever have to ask anybody to put Christ back in Christmas. Amen? You see, it is up to us and the way we interact and the way we live and the way we show Christ in the way we live that matters. Yes, I lament for people to put Christ back in Christmas. But I realize it's got to start with me. And let me tell you, I've got a long way to go. I am challenged by that. There's other reasons, though, for that Christmas are drawn to celebrate. Christians are drawn to celebrate Christmas. Christmas traditions bind families together. It is a time when we spend more time this season of the year with family than any other time during the whole rest of the year. And for many families, they spend more time together this season than all the rest of the year combined. That even includes families that have small children at home. They have more family gathering time this season than all the rest of the year. This is a time for us to spread love and happiness in many unique and special ways. We see opportunities that our hearts are open to this season of the year that for other seasons we don't seem to pay attention to as well. That's part of that serving that we've got to get right so that when we proclaim to people it's time to see the Christ in Christmas, that they've got something to base that on. We do this often with giving of the gifts. That started, of course, with Scripture. The wise men came, and they brought gifts for the Messiah. Now, the wise men didn't come while Jesus was in a manger in a animal pen, right? Scripture clearly says they came to the house where he was staying. And folks, you just need to know, it was 2 to 6, maybe 12 months later that these wise men came. They had to see the star. They had to grasp and understand that it meant something and then what it meant and where it was leading them. And then they had to go and get there. It wasn't like they hopped on a plane. They traveled with camels. Camels are slow. And sometimes camels just don't go. They stop like donkeys and are not going to go. Christmas, though, is a time for us to remember that even though we look outside and things look bleak and the days are getting short, we serve a God who brings light into the world regardless of the light that would shine otherwise. In our darkest days, we can turn to Him and have light come into our world regardless of what's happening anywhere else around us. And we can have a personal relationship with this God. Christians celebrate Christmas because it's the celebration of life and love. And when we celebrate Christmas, we should be understanding that and thinking that. When we understand the importance of life and love, we realize that there is nothing more important than those. See, that's the only two things that we, as smart as we are, cannot replicate. We just can't do it. We can cause events to come about that cause somebody to feel love, but we don't understand really how that happens or what goes on. There's some quasi studies they've done and they come up with some quasi explanation, but they're not God. See, God designed love. He designed love when He designed us. Or before he designed us out of love, maybe is a better way to say it. He also designed life. In all of our scientific advances and all that ever will be, we will never create life. We might create something that looks a whole lot like it, but we'll never create life from non-life. So life and love are the things that we need to see when we celebrate Christmas, because they came into the world because of Him. He is the reason. Christmas can be a beautiful time and lift us up even during the most difficult times of our lives. And many people experience the most difficult times of their lives this time of year. A season of joy and happiness when our loved ones are no longer with us. A time of loss of a child or another family member. This time can be very difficult. But folks, if we will focus on Jesus Christ and His love and His light, we will see this season in a whole new way. And not dread it coming, but anticipate it. Look forward to it. Embrace it. In Texas, In 1987, there was a toddler by the name of Jessica McClure. Little Jessica fell into an 8-inch well casing. Down she went, becoming stuck 22 feet below ground. I'm sure that most of you in here remember that. It was on the news every day, several times a day. Once people discovered that baby Jessica was in the well, they took immediate action. They didn't tell her to find it and go to the hole in the ground and shout down to her, oh, can you climb up? Can you reach my hand? Grab onto this rope. She was a toddler. They didn't go to the head of that well and say, we're praying for you. They took action. It took emergency responders 58 hours to dig down a whole new shaft and then bore over to be under where she was so they could support her. And they got her out. Praise God. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell. Down they went, dragging all of humanity with them into the darkness of death and sin. And what did God do? He didn't shout down from heaven, I'm sending some good thoughts your way. He came to earth. He came to rescue us. He came to show us himself. He came to love us and to heal us. He came to us. And that's what Christmas is all about. You see, the greatest reason for us to celebrate Christmas is because we celebrate a Savior. A Savior who came into this world because we could not save ourselves. Jesus done something for us that we could never do for ourselves. He became our Savior. When there's one person with a life-threatening situation, we understand that something has to be done. When God looked down at our sinful planet, he saw a whole world of people in mortal danger. We celebrate Christmas because it was at Christmas time that the rescuer of all mankind came to save us from the hopeless situation that we were in. God did not stay in heaven. He came down to where we were. And we need to celebrate as though we understand that. Amen and amen.